The Coffee Break Liberty Podcast, Episode 53. Hello and welcome back, everybody, to the Coffee Break Liberty Podcast with me, your host, Leo Sowers. Recording now from a very, very snowy and chilly Fayetteville, Tennessee. We are up to, well, our ankles in snow, and for us here, that's quite a lot because we don't get snow around here too much. So, at the behest of a friend of mine, she said I should record another episode because I haven't done it in a while, so that's what I'm doing on this snowy evening. It's a Friday, it's the 19th of January. And here we are, recording another episode. And there were some things to talk about that we haven't talked about since I was last recording. And we're going to jump into those right away. But after I give you a plug for the store. That's right. If you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, which I want you guys to all go to. So at coffeebreakliberty.com, in the upper portion of the page, you will see a store tab. I want you to click on that store tab. And when you do, you are going to see mugs for sale, t-shirts, laptop cases, phone cases. Mugs is the main thing, I'm not going to lie. And these mugs have, you know, libertarian-esque symbology and phrases and quotes on them. And you also have the mug with the ever, you know, the one that everybody wants, the Coffee Break Liberty logo on it. That's what we all want. That's the mug you want. You want that mug because nobody else in your neighborhood is going to have one, but they will eventually. And you can be the first. So that's right, if you go to coffeebreakliberty.com in the upper portion of the page, like I said, click on that store tab, you can get all these great items you can shop around to your heart's content. But if you stick around on the main page, coffeebreakliberty.com, for about 10 to 15 seconds, maybe it's a little bit longer, I don't recall, you should get hit with a prompt, you will get hit with a prompt, asking you to sign up for the newsletter. And I'm telling you, sign up for that newsletter. Two things. I don't send out newsletters. You're not going to get flooded with emails. Second thing, right then and there, you're going to get a discount code for 10% off of your first order at the coffeebreakliberty.com store. So once again, go to coffeebreakliberty.com, click on that store tab, and get yourself a mug. So the first thing I wanted to talk about this week is the first two things I'm going to talk about are about the same person. Yep, you guessed it, Donald Trump. So the first one I want to kind of talk about because, you know, like I said, I've been off the air for a little bit. And a friend asked me about it earlier this week. We all remember seeing it a couple few weeks ago, back in the last year, I believe it was. I think we were still in 2023 when it happened. Colorado decided to essentially kick Trump off of the primary ballot for that state. Still unsure if he's going to be kicked off the ballot for the actual presidential election. If memory serves me right, I'm going off memory. I don't concern myself with this too much, but I'm going off memory. Michigan followed suit, I believe, like a week later and successfully kicked him off the ballot. Of course, the Trump campaign is suing, having it taken to court. It's going to go to an upper level court. I believe it is going to get overturned. I think one of them already did. But I believe that the Trump campaign wants to take it all the way to the Supreme Court and have it overturned there if they can get it heard, which I think that they can. So why did Trump get kicked off the ballot? So Trump got kicked off the ballot because in Colorado and, like I said, I believe it was Michigan. I know the first one was Colorado. They argued that under the Constitution, you are not allowed to run for political office, run for the office of president, if you have committed treason. So through their court system or whatever they had to do, they determined that, yes, he's committed treason, even though he's never been convicted of treason. But they said, yep, because he's committed treason, which he hasn't been convicted of, I'll come back to that, he is now kicked off the ballot in Colorado. Like I said, I believe Michigan was the other one. May have been Maine, but I don't quite remember. But like I said, he's not been convicted of treason. I don't even know if one of the charges is treason. So this will get overturned, I think. It may be also a way for Trump and the Trump campaign to force the hand of the Supreme Court or some other court without even having to really go to trial to determine if he committed treason, because now he can actually use it as evidence, right? So he's not committed treason. If he gets put on the ballot, back on the ballot, which I think that he will, this allows the Trump campaign, you know, if he ever gets charged with treason, he can say, hey, no, you can't charge me with treason because we've already determined that I've not committed treason. That's why I'm allowed on the ballot. So I think that's one way it can actually help Trump. We'll see if it goes that way. But this doesn't hurt Trump at all. This, I don't know what these these attorney generals, whatever attorneys are pushing this stuff forward. I don't know. Like they want Trump to lose. Got it. Fine. What they are doing is helping him. They are only helping him. Nobody was sitting on the fence and was there like, well, I guess if the Colorado, you know, system says he's committed treason, I guess I can't vote for him anymore. No, those people are going to vote for him. You know what I mean? Like the people that were going to vote for him were already going to vote for him. There's nobody on that fence that's going to go one way or the other. If anything, I think it's going to, well, it's already going to strengthen his base and embolden them, right? Because it's just proving them right to themselves. A lot of them believe, and I think rightfully so, I do agree with him on this, that a lot of the justice system and, you know, a lot of the lawyers and all that have just, they've got their sights on him, right? The system, the way they view it, and I think there is some validity to the statement, the system is after Trump. It's trying to take him out, trying to get rid of him, take him out before he can even get to the starting line this time. Like I said, I do think there is some validity in that statement. I think that is a true enough statement that the system is against him. Now, in my personal opinion, I don't know why, because he is just as much a part of the system as those other clowns, but they don't feel he's enough part of the system. They feel he is a danger to their system. I disagree. I think he's just part of it, but that's a different conversation. So they feel that, you know, they need to take him out. So then all the people for a long time, not everybody, but a lot of people, I should say, that were always against the system, they say, hey, well, if the system's against him, he must be against the system. And that math kind of, that checks, that tracks for a lot of people. I would say in most cases that tracks. I don't think it tracks in this case, but like I said, different conversation. So there's a lot of people that make that connection, and I think that's a fair connection to make. That's not a hard jump. I would say 99.9% of the time, that's true. I just, like I said, I don't believe it is in this case. So the system is against him, and I, like I said, I think there's truth in that. And because it is against him, it just emboldens people. Like, well, I've been against the system. If the system thinks this guy is bad, and I think the system is bad, this guy must be good, right? Two negatives making a positive of some sort. And then you've got people that, this is only going to attract people, I think. Because there were people that were like, man, I don't think Trump is the guy. I don't think Trump is the guy. But they're so against the system that they weren't going to vote for Trump because, like me, they think he's part of the system. But they may think he's, you know, they may lean more towards, well, if the system is against him, he must be against the system, right? There's going to be, this is all that these attorney generals is doing. What I'm trying to say, I'm taking a long time to say it, is that they are emboldening him. They are attracting more votes to him. That's all they're doing. They are attracting more people to him. I know people that voted for him last time strictly because the system was against him. You don't think that's going to happen again? These strategists or whatever, they don't understand him. And it's telling, right? I know people in the Beltway that work in the Beltway, that are lawyers in the Beltway. And it's, if you don't know these people, it's very strange. They're good people. Like I don't drink, but you know, I could have an iced tea with them, right? If we're not talking politics, if we're just talking about our hobbies and stuff. But the moment they start talking about things in the Beltway and how the rest of the they view the rest of the country in relation to the Beltway, you quickly understand that these people they're delusional. And rightfully so. They are at the center of power. They are living in the most powerful city. I think you can make that argument easily, right? Most powerful city in the world. There's going to be some sense of delusion. If you're that close to power, if you're just because you're adjacent to it, you're in the proximity of it. And like these lawyers that I know, they are in that power system, okay? So it's not like they're just adjacent to it. They are in it in some fashion. Maybe just as a staffer or whatever, but they're in it. And it's those people, those strategists too. A lot of the strategists come from there. So these strategists and these people that think they've got it all figured out, they don't understand Trump. Like not even remotely. And I guess you could also argue, how could they? They've been in that bubble, that delusional bubble. Some of them, you know, their entire working career. That's what some of these people strived to be. They wanted to be in government. So there's already some delusion there. But, you know, that's why they don't understand. They don't get that this, what they're doing by trying to weaponize the system against Trump, what they don't realize is that they're helping him. And this goes into the second point. You want proof of that? Look at what just happened in Iowa. Trump didn't debate any of those Republicans. Didn't even have to take the stage with these people. And he destroyed them. He got, what was it, 49, 50, 51% of the vote? That's more than he got last time. Last time, it was about 60% of Republicans didn't want him. But if you don't remember, I say last time, we're talking 2016. If you don't remember, there was about 16, I think there was 12, actually. But there was a lot of candidates. A lot. So he just had the most. It was close to about 60% of Republicans didn't vote for him in the primaries. But because he had the most, he was winning. Now he's taking 50%. I mean, that's not an overwhelming majority of Republicans that want him. But that's a lot more than last time. That's a lot more than last time. There are a lot more Republicans voting for him this time. There's a lot more Republicans now comfortable with this guy. Ramaswamy dropped out after that evening in Iowa, which is kind of a bummer because I liked watching him destroy Nikki Haley, destroy her on stage. That was another thing that happened. Rand Paul came out, and he's kind of been quiet this whole time. Fair enough, you know, why throw your hat behind somebody? The only thing he did was come out and say, anybody but Nikki Haley. And it's interesting to see the turn against her. And I know a few women that were really excited about her running 8, 9, 10, 12 months ago. You know, Republican women. None of them are excited about her now. I think they were excited because, you know, there was some, oh, it's a woman. She's, you know, she's exciting. She did good. She's had a political career. But she really didn't do anything. And she let Ramaswamy and the internet make her out as pretty much to be Kamala Harris. They made her look like a fool. Because I don't think she did not come across as well read in these debates and like that she was very prepared. And she was not prepared for Ramaswamy, mostly, and the internet to just destroy her with her ties to the defense industry. And it was embarrassing for her. And like I said, I don't know any of those women that were supporting her 12 months ago. I don't know every woman out there, and there's clearly some people still supporting her. I don't know who they are. But none of the people that I associate with that were supporting her 10, 12 months ago are supporting her today. I don't know if these people donated or not, but it would not surprise me if they donated, you know, $25-$50 10, 12 months ago. I bet you they wish they had their money back. Trump destroyed them. It was Trump by a large margin, then DeSantis. I think he was almost 30 points back. Maybe it was 20, whatever it was. Doesn't matter. Then it was Haley. Then it was Ramaswamy. Then there was a few others. And I laughed when I saw the results. It was like 95% or 99% of votes counted, and Chris Christie had 35 votes in the entire primary in Iowa. What the heck? I could have gone up there and got 35 votes. I could have spent 2 months up there and got more than 35 votes. I'm sure of that. Maybe not. That's a stretch because nobody's going to come see me. But what the heck? Who's going to see Chris Christie? 35 votes? What is this guy doing? You know, I talked about that with a friend, and I was like, man, it just shows you like how much money there is to be made. And then, you know, he pointed out, I was like, well, there's that, but also the money to be made is later. You know, they're vying, they're trying to compete for better cabinet positions under Trump. That's all it is. That's all this is. And I don't know if DeSantis will take that. He's not going to beat Trump. It's not going to happen. I mean, unless something crazy. I mean, something. I couldn't imagine what would have to come out for Trump to lose now. Because just about everything that's been done, he's been called out for just about everything. And it's not stopping people from voting for him. They are comfortable enough with voting for this guy. And I don't mean to just point out Republicans for that, because Democrats are comfortable with voting for Joe Biden as well. It's a joke. So again, we can already tell it's going to be a Trump and Biden rematch. I think there's a lot of people saying, but I think they're wrong. There's nobody else they really got in the wings to replace Joe Biden. They should. And what I do think could really shake things up, and he said he was going to do it, but he doesn't really seem to be making good on his promise, was RFK saying he would run as a third party. I think that would be, honestly, if the Democrats really wanted to win this, they'd run RFK Jr. Because they're going to get all the people that don't want Trump. They already got them. They're going to get all the Joe Biden people, too. I don't know how many people are actually proud of Joe Biden. 20 of them, I guess. They're going to get all them. But all the people that already hate Trump, that were going to vote anything but Trump, they already got them. And you will get some people with RFK that are against the system. Because I think he is actually more anti-establishment than Trump. Not on everything. I want to be clear. There are definitely some things I disagree with him on. I'm not going to get into all that. I don't think he's good on a lot of things. But I do think he is actually more anti-establishment than Trump. So if he really does put in a valiant effort, like if he puts in a real effort to run as a third party, what he could have done, and I think he would have done well, but he won't do it because of the gun platform. If he ran under the Libertarian ticket, he's got access, I believe, again, in all 50 states. He would be on every ballot in all 50 states. Because I believe the Libertarian Party is still on all 50 ballots, if I'm not mistaken. I know that we were in 16 and 20. The Green Party's not. And it's going to be hard for RFK Jr. to do that on his own. It's not impossible. Ross Perot, he was on all 50 ballots. And RFK Jr. could get to the debates. And he would make those two blithering morons. Well, Trump, it's hard, but because he doesn't debate, right? But he would make those two guys. I think he would make Joe Biden look like a clown, that's for sure. Because he would debate Biden the way that Biden knows how to debate. You know, that's how Biden did well against Trump in the debates. Biden was so lost, he didn't know how to he didn't know how to respond, so he just didn't respond. It was the best. It was like the rope-a-dope, right? He just sat there and took the slings, and he's just like, "I'm Joe Biden." Yeah, dude, we get it. So yeah, Trump wins Iowa. He's gonna win the nomination. I don't know why they're even going on with these other contests. I mean, I know why. It's about money, but they're gonna do them anyways. Trump wins Iowa. He will go on to be the nominee. I'm not going to make a prediction right now. Maybe, why not? Right now, well, we'll see. So I called this out on the Twitter several months ago, and it's already happening. So you can call this prediction another one Coffee Break Liberty got right. I said they are going to start lowering the interest rates this year because it's an election year. And what have they already started doing? They're lowering the interest rates. They're going to do whatever they can. They are going to do anything they can. They're going to use the Fed against Trump right now. That's what they're going to do. They used it against him before, and it wasn't, I don't want to say he didn't play a part in it. It's not like he was an innocent bystander. He was so foolish, he didn't battle against it. He was on board with what they were doing. And he didn't realize how bad it was going to be. He was a clown. But they are going to continue to lower interest rates to try and get people back to spending, try and get people back into buying homes, refinancing, buying new things. That's what a lot of these elections are about. If, you know, for people that don't know, a lot of people, it's a valid question when they ask, well, are you doing better than you were 4 years ago? Do you think you're doing better than you were 4 years ago? Well, if somebody's buying a new car, sitting in a car with a brand new car smell, and they weren't doing that 4 years ago, and they can now do that because the interest rates are lower and they can afford a car again, they're going to think, yeah, I am. And, you know, most people don't realize that, like, that's not always a good thing, right? But people are foolish, and that's why democracy, that's why we end up with Joe Biden and Trump, okay? Democracy is a joke. So as we get closer, I can make more, you know, accurate predictions. I think if you had the election right now, I do think Trump would probably win. I think he would win. It would be close, but I think he would win. We'll see about in November, though, when they start lowering these rates, and I think that's what's going to kill Trump. I think that's what's going to hurt Trump. When they start lowering these rates, like, you know, the court system's going after Joe Biden's son. Joe Biden is so lost. I'm sure he forgets he has a son. They're trying to get him on all these corruption charges. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. Not while he's in office. It ain't going to happen. What is it? Snakes don't bite each other. Rattlesnakes don't bite each other. And they're all rattlesnakes. And one thing I did not talk about, and it kind of slipped my mind last time, was Argentina has a new president. Javier Milei, I think is how you say his last name. Milei. Milei? Not really sure. President Javier of Argentina is ruffling all the feathers of all the elites, and it is driving them nuts. He was in Davos this past week and told them to their faces that they are ruining the world by abandoning freedom and leaning towards more socialism. He was at the World Economic Forum telling them this. And then shortly thereafter, after he left with his speech, they honestly had a witch come in, a witch, and bless whatever thing they were doing next. That place is weird, man. That place is weird. And I want to read the headline of the World Socialist News about his speech, about Javier's speech. Here's the headline. Oligarchs in Davos appalled fascist rant by Argentinian President Milei. Well, it's one of those words, right, that has lost all meaning because it's like narcissist. Narcissist is somebody you just don't like these days. It has lost all meaning. Fascist, the same thing. People can't define fascism, and it's embarrassing. They don't know what it means. They just say it. So, and it's probably a badge of honor when the World Socialist News or whatever this rag is dislikes you. Like, if the New York Times dislikes you, it might be a badge of honor, right? If Paul Krugman doesn't like you at the New York Times, he's the economic op-ed. For some reason, they still pay him to write 3 columns a week. I wish I had that job. And if you want to see how bad it is, he's a Nobel Prize economist. And in 2016, 2/3 of his columns were about how good Hillary Clinton was up to the election. Had nothing to do with economics whatsoever, which is what they hired him for. But hey, he still got paid, right? I guess he's smarter than me. I mean, he is, you know, he's a smart cookie. He's just not a good person. He's not. That's a whole different story, though. But it's a good thing, right? When these people that are evil, the World Socialist Newspaper or whatever this rag is, that's, I can tell you right now, that's evil people. That is people that want to use violence against their neighbors to change the world. President Javier does not want to do that. He's a self-proclaimed anarcho-capitalist. And we are already seeing some of the impacts quickly of his policy. And his policy changes. So one of his policy changes was to just pretty much get rid of a lot of the housing restrictions and rental restrictions and restrictions on landlords and property owners and this, that, and the other. He got rid of a lot of them. In less than a month, rental properties that became available to people, and this means the price is going to lower too, because now you've got, right, we got a supply and demand. The demand hasn't changed, which kept the price high, but now the supply has changed. The supply has risen. So now the price is going to lower. So really, if you're a property owner, you just kind of like, dang, you know, if you were already in the mix. But now if you're a property owner and you weren't able to rent your property out because of all the restrictions, now you can actually rent it out. Maybe you can't rent it out for the $1,000 a month you could have 2 months ago, but you weren't even able to rent it out. So now you're renting it out for $700. So now it is better for the consumer, the person trying to rent an apartment in Argentina, because there's more supply and the demand has stayed the same. So you're getting more options. You're going to be getting better options, right? Because some of those options weren't available for whatever reason, whatever red tape. You're going to get more options, better options, and they're going to be less expensive. Now, is this going to solve whatever housing crisis? I don't know if there is one, by the way. Is this going to solve whatever housing crisis there is in Argentina? No, it's not going to solve this. There's always going to be this until you start forcing people with slave labor like you do in communism to build houses, or you go in with socialism or communism. Communism did the same, and you forcefully take property from people to house people. That's the only time you're truly, quote unquote, going to solve the issue, is by using state violence against others. But Javier, President Javier, has just upset the apple cart, guys. And I was really kind of annoyed, too. There was a lot of anarchists and anarchists, I'll say anarchists, that were very, you know, oh, the moment he got elected, they found two or three photos of him at the World Economic Forum. And they said, oh, he's just a snake. You've all been duped. You've all been duped. Like, just give the guy, he's not even in office yet, guys. He didn't even get sworn in for like another month. Let the guy do his thing, and then we can see if he got duped. But no, these people have to be first. I stopped associating with some of them. It was so ridiculous. But they just had to be first to do it. They had to be first to say something, and now they're wrong. You know why they're wrong? It's because they don't listen to the Coffee Break Liberty podcast. If those people would take the time to listen to this great show like you do, you'd be right more than they are, at least. I'm not going to say all the time. I've been wrong before. Go listen to that podcast where I thought Putin wasn't going to invade Ukraine. 2 weeks later, he invaded Ukraine. I was way off. I was way off. It happens. But that said, we collectively, the collective we, we've got an anarcho-capitalist, self-proclaimed, as president of Argentina. And so far, things are going well. It's really early on. I know I'm getting my hopes up, because there are going to be some hiccups. Ripping apart systems like that aren't easy, and there's going to be some hiccups. Like, it's going to cause some issue somewhere. But that's something I've always said. We're going to win this, but it isn't going to be an easy road. It's going to be bumpy. And even after we do win this, there's no utopia. Okay, utopia doesn't exist. Utopia is, that's what communists and socialists believe. I'm sorry, I live in reality, guys. Some people are going to be hungry. Some people are going to get sick. Some people are going to be born with some disabilities. But putting a gun or forcing your neighbor to try and fix those by stealing their labor and threatening them with violence isn't utopia. That's a nightmare. And people are waking up. People in Argentina woke up, enough of them, to that nightmare. Hopefully they stay awake and they continue this. If they can wake up in Argentina, we can do it here. It isn't going to be easy. But we're not against, you know, undefeatable monsters. We're against Goliath. We're against Hydra. You chop one head off, two come back. Yeah, but you're going to win eventually. You're going to get it. What do? You can't continue chopping heads off. You just throw it into the fiery pit. Some people say, I like our odds. I saw that in a clip earlier this week. Some guy, couldn't even remember his name, said he liked our odds, and he compared us to David and Goliath, which I liked. He thinks the odds are good. To me, they're certain. We are going to win this. All right, guys, before I sign off, I want to remind you about the affiliate program that I am, affiliated with. So, once again, if you go to coffeebreakliberty.com in the upper portion of the page next to the store tab, after you buy that great mug, you should go to the affiliate tab. In that affiliate tab, you will see the businesses that I'm affiliated with. Some of them are with the racing program. Most of them are, I'll admit. But then the other one is more geared towards everybody, because I think everybody should have a website. It's with Bluehost. Bluehost is the hosting company that hosts this website and podcast, and they do a stellar job. They are a great company. I've never had any issue with them, and their customer service is some of the best I've ever had. Years ago, I had an issue at about 1 a.m. They were willing to talk to me at 1 a.m. to get that issue fixed. It was great, and they helped me get it fixed. It was me. I was the issue. It was my first time building a website. It was me trying to get it all figured out. So Bluehost, I want you to go check it out. It's in my affiliate tab. And if you use the affiliate link, you're going to get a discounted rate on your new website. And let me know about it, and I will plug that on the show. I'll plug it on the show, the Facebook page, the Twitter, all the social medias. You're going to reach thousands of people right away with your brand new website. Let me know about it. Go use that affiliate link. Get yourself a website and get people to your page. And as one other reminder, guys, I want to remind you of, hey, like, share the show. Share the show, people. The more people we have listening, the more minds we're going to change. We are on Apple, we're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, and for right now, we're on Google Podcast. There are some changes coming with that. I am not totally tracking what's going on with that, but it's my understanding that Google Podcast is going away and they're trying to get all of us to transfer over to YouTube. I don't do video, so we'll see how that goes. It may just kind of get knocked down to one or to two, Spotify and iTunes. I may look for another outlet, but honestly, those three are the big ones. And I figure most people aren't going to go to YouTube. They're going to go to Spotify. We'll see how it goes, though. A lot of it has to do with the uploading procedure, but it's back-end stuff. Last time I tried to go to YouTube, it was a mess. We'll see if they change some stuff. But share the show. Tell your friends about it. Give us some ratings. We love it. It helps the show grow. And it makes me, it kind of makes me want to come back more often, right? So until the next time, guys, take care.